Father, thank you for this day and this time. This is a day you have made. We rejoice. We are glad in it. We thank you for your presence, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that and we right now acknowledge our need for you, for your truth, for your righteousness, Lord. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we hunger and thirst after truth, Lord, the truth of the Word. Not man's ideas, not man's opinions, but your Word, Lord, your truth. You are truth. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to hear the things you have to say that encourage, build up, edify, exhort, Lord. And Lord, if there is chastisement that comes, we know it's done in love. It's not in anger. It's not in frustration, but it's in love, Lord. This is the way. Walk in it. We thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're in control because we've given control to you. Bring our Father's will into this house once again and into each and every heart and life. Change us to be in your image and your likeness. For that we praise you, we thank you, and we are anxious, Lord, to give you praise and worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You alone, Lord, are our strength and our shield. To you alone, our heart's cry is to you alone, Lord. May our spirits yield. We love you so much more than anything. Hallelujah. Thank you today, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in this place today. Father, we love you and we praise you and we worship you. We bow before you, Lord. We humble ourselves in your presence. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving us, for making the plan. It redeemed us, brought us back into right relationship and right fellowship with you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, Lord, use these stammering lips, Lord, as your oracle, Lord. Touch my lips with a coal from off the altar of God to bring forth your word this morning. I trust in you and I trust in your anointing, Lord, and your calling. And I surrender to you in Jesus' name. I submit myself to you and to your word, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My strength and my hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he is. Our strength and our hope. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that's so important, you know, first of all, we all know that faith works by love and that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And one of the demonstrations of the love we have, as Christ said and as the Word says, Jesus, who is the living Word, amen, according to John, first chapter, Jesus, who is the living Word, has said that they will know us by our love and how we love one another. Is that not true? Okay. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We're going to look at the 11th through the 16th verse. And I want to share something with you. You know, every one of us desires that God be in control in this house. But what I want to share this morning is, you know, what does that look like? How do we do that? How is He in control? First of all, by our submission, everyone's submission, by our surrendering to Him, to His will, and His plan and purpose, not our own. God demonstrates His power and His love and His mercy through other human beings in this earth. He still does supernatural things that have nothing to do with human beings. We can all say amen about that. So it's not just human beings, but He's chosen men as His avenue to do what He wants to do in this earth and to bring us to the place where we are completely submitted and surrendered to Him and we accomplish His will in this earth. Can you all agree with that? And as a result, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting in the 11th verse, He has laid out a plan that He devised. Not me, not you. He devised the plan. And so one of the places where our faith has to work is we trust that God is working through those, and that means you too, because we're all called and chosen by God. We all have a place in the body of Christ, that He is working and operating in our lives, that we have put ourselves down to the point where He's in control, we're not in control, we're not trying to be in control, and we're not trying to force our will or our thoughts on anybody. But the Word of God, which stands alone, and which God says does not return void, will accomplish what it's sent to do. So if you're uncomfortable with somebody, understanding that they're called, that they're chosen by God, you didn't choose them, and you don't have a say in the matter. Sorry. Anybody who thought they had a vote, forget it, because you don't. All you have is the ability to agree with the Word of God, to agree. Does God make mistakes? Has He ever made a mistake in your life? Now, I'm not saying there might not have been a time or two in your life where you thought He made a mistake. I remember when God called me and said, you're going to be the assistant pastor and the pastor of this church at some point. I said, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. I know some of you may not understand that. It's not because I don't love God. It's not because... But I know what kind of person I am. And I know that to this day, after all these years, I still fall short. And that's why I express my need and my desire for Him every day of my life. I need Him. I need Him more today than I did yesterday. And I'm going to need Him more tomorrow. We all make mistakes. But that's not the end. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. Forgiveness is supposed to be 70 times 7 times, 449 times a day. How many have been pressed to that point where you've had to forgive 449 times? His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And it says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? What is the reason that He did this? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. He placed these people in the places that they're in. You and I didn't, any more than we have, we can pick and choose who our moms and dads are. We can pick who our children are. I mean, we didn't walk through a line one day and say, well, Lord, I'll take that one. Did you? You got God's blessing. You got God's best. You got His favor when God blessed you with that child. You got His blessing. You got His favor when God blessed you with that wife or that husband. Oh, you might as well say amen. This is the truth. You got God's best. But sometimes we question that. And the reason we question it is because somebody might fall out of line or do something that's not right. But God, His mercy endures forever. I remind you once again, you all know what made David a man after God's heart. It wasn't that he didn't make mistakes and that wasn't perfect, but the point is that he was perfect in the respect that he was quick to repent. He went to God and said, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I'll never do it again with your help. Amen? I'll never do it again with your help. So God set these people in office to help you become the tool and the equipped person, the equipped minister that can go out and minister to this world. Minister to one another. Pray for one another. That is your righteous duty. Did you hear what I said? It's your duty. God didn't ask if you felt like it. If you see something that's wrong or something you don't like, then it's time to get on your face before God and say, God, I thank you for that person. Help them. Help me. Start right here. Help me, Lord. If I'm wrong, then Lord, reveal that to me. If they're wrong, Lord, then I just thank you for them. I love them. I know you love them. And so, Lord, I trust you by the Holy Spirit that you'll reveal that to that person. You'll reveal that to that person. Now, we're not all called to the same thing. In the respect that our calls and our place in the body differs from everybody else. But the call and the anointing is the same in the respect that we all have the admonishment by God to minister to other people, to share that love of God, that light of God that's in us with other people. Amen? Hallelujah. And that can take whatever form God decides. God by the Holy Spirit decides. Hallelujah. And the reason for this equipping of the saints is for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the building up, the strengthening of the body of Christ. That word equipping means complete furnishing. So he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping or the complete furnishing. You're giving you a complete ability to do what he's called you to do in the place that he's called you to do it. We don't all have the same callings. We don't all have the same anointings. We have the anointing, which is Christ in us. But those anointings vary, just as the gifts vary. And every one of us has the opportunity by the Holy Spirit, as there is a need that arises, to operate in whatever gift and whatever calling or other callings in our own calling. It's not an absolute. It's an extension of what God's called you to do. For the ministry, that literally means the service of those who prepare and present food. Oh. So what that means is you have the same responsibility as the person who sits in this pulpit or stands in this pulpit. Your job is to prepare the food or the blessings and the Word of God, the knowledge of God, and share it with others so they can be fed. Does that line up with Scripture? Don't all shout at me now. It lines up with Scripture. And that word edifying literally means the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, not weakness, but piety, godly humility, happiness, or holiness. He says, "Be ye holy as I am holy," says the Lord. Verse 13. And when this is happening and when it's all finished, it says, we're supposed to do this until we all, A-L-L, say that includes me, come in the unity. That word unity means the agreement of the faith. Not agreeing with me, not agreeing with you, but agreeing with the faith or the Word of God and the knowledge of the Son of God to what? A perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We meet His standards. We come up to His level by His help and His working in our lives. That's the goal, is to be like Him, is it not? To imitate Him. Verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. The enemy's out there. He has those who will take the word, distort it, and try to get you to buy it or swallow it. That's why the Holy Spirit's there. That's why we have a conscience. When you don't feel peace about something that you hear, then what you need to do is you need to go to God. You need to say, "Lord, I don't know about that. Either I haven't come to that level yet, or I don't have understanding in that area. Lord, enlighten my understanding," according to Ephesians 1:18. Enlighten my understanding. Help me see through the Spirit what's going on there. Lord, if I need to grow in that area, then please, I want to grow. Change my heart. Change my life. If they're wrong, Lord, then Lord, I just commit them into your hands. I release them to you, and I thank you, Lord, that you're enlightening their understanding. Amen? It's not our place to go and attack somebody, or to tell somebody, "Well, we're not doing things right," or "You're not doing things right." It's not our place. That doesn't look like Jesus. How many's ever had Jesus or the Word of God fly off the handle at them? No. What we hear when we're chastised is, "This is the way, walk in it." Did you hear that? That's positive reinforcement. It's not telling you where you missed it. It's not telling you how messed up that thinking is. It's telling you, "This is my way. This is what I desire. Walk you in it." and then we can go on. Amen. Never once telling us how bad the mistake was. Never once pointing out faults in our life, but just saying, let me help you show you, let me help show you the way. Let me help show you which direction you need to go. Hallelujah. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. What's truth? Who is truth? Truth is not a thing, it's a person. Who is truth? Amen. Thank you, Patrick. But speaking the truth, speaking of Jesus in love, so that all may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Christ. For those of you who may not know, Christ means the anointed one or the one who has the anointing. Does Christ dwell in you? The Bible tells us in Romans, I believe it is, that if the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive your mortal body. That's the anointed one. That's the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth. That's what causes growth. Unity. Working together. Not against one another. Not with an attitude, I gotta, you know, you gotta do it my way or you're wrong. God's given to every man the measure of faith. And He'll grow that faith as you surrender to Him, as you live your life according to His plan and purpose. From whom the whole body, knit and joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effectiveness or the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body, not just the growth of the individual, but the growth of the body. We all have something to offer. That's why we come together. The Word says we all have a psalm, a doctrine, something. That doesn't mean we're the end-all answer, but we are a part of the answer and adding to. Not pointing a finger saying, you missed it. I think I read someplace where we're not the judge. And if we judge, we're going to be judged by the same measure we judge that other person. Is that the truth? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And the Scripture says, do all things without complaining and disputing. I don't know about you, but that seems fairly clear to me. Direct and to the point. Verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without what? Without fault. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Are we in the midst of a perverse generation? Amen, Harry. Among whom you shine as light in the world. Remember, the Bible says that your conversation or your lifestyle is what's going to bring people. It's being obedient to share the Word when the opportunity's right and when God opens the door, but your lifestyle is going to say more than your words will ever say. How many of you have ever heard the old saying, you know, your action speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying? Nobody ever heard that before? Verse 16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That word disputing means to engage in argument, to debate, to argue irritably or with irritating persistence, to make the subject of disputation, to struggle against or oppose, to contend over. Do all things without complaining and disputing. God didn't set any one of us to be the watchdog or another person, but to love each other with a love that says, I'm praying for you. If there's something that I'm not sure about, I'm going to pray for you. And I don't know about you, but that brings great comfort to me. I don't remember ever saying that I wouldn't make a mistake. How about you? But I want to learn by my mistakes. I don't want to repeat them. And I want to grow in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 5:16 through 26. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. This is what God commands us. Then I say, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you will not or shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many know the flesh lusts against the Spirit? Lusts against it. The Spirit and the carnality, or the thoughts of man, will never come together. They are enemies. The Bible says that. They're enemies. Amen? They're enemies. They'll never come together. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. They're contrary. It's like trying to put the two positive posts of a magnet together. And here's what happens. Ooh. Are you with me? They'll never come together. Why? Because one is spiritual and one is carnal, or Adamic, if you like that word. Adamic is just a simple word meaning Adam's nature. Adamic. They're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. It's got nothing to do with what you wish. It's got to do with obedience. Doing the things that God wishes, God calls you to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law is what's going to condemn us. But thank God we're not under the law anymore. The day we said, Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a mess, I'm a wreck, and I need you in my life. I need you to straighten me out. I need you to give me the right thoughts. I need you to give me the right motives. I need you to change my heart so that I can love, so that I can do what you want me to do and be the person you are, because I want to imitate you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you were born by a virgin. Whatever God tells you to pray when you get saved, that's all that matters. And you're saved. Whoa, that was hard. That was hard. And now new life begins. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. New. You walk in newness of life. You know, I shared with a gentleman. I got an opportunity to go with Patrick and Donna to the Gideon Luncheon on Thursday. And a gentleman that I knew, that I introduced Patrick to and told Patrick about, who is a Gideon, we talked. And I thanked him for the prayers for me. And he had no idea of what God did. See, when you walk into eternity, and you may not even know it at the moment, your life is over. Your physical life is over. You cease to love. You cease to think. You cease to care. You cease to breathe. It's over. And then to have God come and say, wait a minute, I am not done with you yet. It's not your time. Go back. Now, it wasn't audible. I had no cognizance of that. I just know I woke up one day and I was still here. And only afterwards did I find out what had happened while I was in the ER. God's still in the miracle working business. God loves you. He's the one who says, now it's time. He's the one who makes those decisions, not you and I. Now, we can shorten it if we want to disobey Him. And sometimes that's a blessing because of the fact that God shortens our life, because we're headed for calamity that may just cost us the ability to be in His kingdom. So He does that out of mercy and grace. Say, I think it's time to come. But that's His decision, not ours. Amen? Are you with me? That's His decision, not ours. Who invited Him? Little spider. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh... Ladies and gentlemen, please pay close attention to this. Let this be something you're mindful of in your walk. To judge you, not to judge another. And in your judgment, it's not judging to condemn, but judging to make sure you're walking in the right path, the right way. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They're evident. They're very evident. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as of I have told you in time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. I didn't write that. Does everybody see that it's right there in the book? But in verse 22, if you want to judge where you are, and by judge I don't mean condemn, I mean not the judgment we're talking about where somebody is sentenced, but the judgment of saying, you know, where do I need to change or where am I hitting it right? It says the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is how you know you've got the Spirit of God in you and you're on the right track. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. God's not against those things. He's for those things. Those are traits that you will have if you walk with Jesus, and Jesus is the Lord of your life. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What does that mean? You put to death those mortal things that control you. How do you do that? By the Word of God, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, which should be based on the Word of God. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There you have it. That'd be a good place to meditate this week. If you don't already have some place where you're, or a direction, that'd be a good place to meditate this week. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:8-10 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." Ladies and gentlemen, I hear the devil lying to you already. I've messed up. I've missed my opportunity. I'm going to go to hell. No. God is the only person who can judge that. And that means including you. He's the only person who can judge that. And as long as you have breath in your body, you are not in danger. Unless you refuse to repent and you refuse to change. How do you change? Think you can do it on your own? Wrong. It's impossible. The Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who do you do it through? Through Christ. Who does what? Strengthens you and me. Amen? Hallelujah. But he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And I want to remind you that when your sin is confessed, just like when you said, Jesus, come into my life, I need you, I'm a sinner, your sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. Your transgressions and the accusations or the writing of ordinances that was against you, God has blotted out because of the blood of Jesus, and that covers you. And it's been removed as far as the east is from the west. And he does not remember it. Don't try to remind him because he's not listening. What does the Bible say? Does it not say he whom the Lord has set free is free indeed? Praise God. Praise God. So the only way I can get in trouble is if I absolutely willfully decide I'm going to do something against God. Or I hear something that God says you need to change in this area, or I'm going to help you change, and we don't do it. We disobey Him. What's the Bible say about obedience? Better than sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. And let us not grow weary in while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Somebody came to me last week and said, when does this happen in my life? When am I going to get the victory in this area? And I began to try to share with that individual. That the individual obviously is in a place of hopelessness because they don't see what they wanted. But the point is, are you still walking? Are you still taking steps? Everything in the Word of God is not overnight, or as I like to put it, for those of you who have not heard this before, I've always said that if I could do it, I'd like to just take people and just remove their head, dip the garbage out, put the good stuff back in. It doesn't work like that. There ain't no Frankenstein monsters in this Christian walk. Amen? You may have been before you got saved, but you're not anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, as we have opportunity, whenever the opportunity arises, let us do good to all. Listen carefully. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. Especially to those who are of the household of faith, the family of God, if you prefer. Do good to those who are of the household of faith or the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Two more, and we'll close. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, never stopping, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, not as the word of men." You recognized that it was the word of God. God sent godly men. But as it is in truth. What truth? The way, the truth, and the life. The only truth. The Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you know it or not, the Word of God effectively works in you. Why? Because God's Word does not return void. Why? Because it always accomplishes what it's sent to do. Amen? Philippians 2:12-13 in closing. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, in other words, putting on a show, or just whenever he's around, or you perceive he's around, or somebody that you think is one of his, you know, got to put on my Sunday best all of a sudden. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? That means that you be cognizant. You go to God and say, God, change me. You go to God with the things in your life, not the things in somebody else's life. You're not responsible for those things except to pray for them so that God will help them overcome those things. And when you pray the Word of God and you speak about those things to God, about that person, what you are doing is you are prophesying and speaking the Word of God into their life. I don't know about you, that sounds like a lot better plan. Amen? You agree? Fear and trembling. In other words, with humility. Looking as you will. Remember, mirror, mirror in the book. Show me how I really look. That's what I want to see. Y'all know I want you to make it. Y'all know that I'll do anything I can. If I had a magic formula or magic wand, I could use it, but I don't. The only magic formula I have, and it's not magic, it's truth, is right here in this book. So the only thing I can do is share with you, and then, like we talked about, the meaning of the words in the first scripture we read, Ephesians 4, my job is to prepare the food and feed you. And then the Holy Spirit's job is to cause it to grow inside you to bring the change or the advancement that needs to come in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 13, "For it is God, not me, it is God who works in you, both to will or to have the will and to do or to do His good pleasure." And for the sake of those who are new, I'll tell you that there was a time in my life when I had to pray. I literally had to pray, God, make me willing to be made willing to do your will. And if that's what it takes, so be it. God's not offended by that. See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. We don't know except by the fruit of the Spirit that we see, or the work of the flesh, what's in another person's spirit or heart. We don't. But God does. And that's why God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He can point out those things. He can point out and say, you need to change in this area. Bill, it's time to make sure that this gets taken care of. It gets crucified today. And I'm not doing this alone. You're not doing it alone. He's the co-laborer that works with us. Amen? What did it just say in verse 13? Philippians chapter 2. For it is God, the plan of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Not for your pleasure, for His good pleasure. Amen? What does that look like? That means the salvation of all who will listen. Hopefully the salvation of all, but we all know that's, according to the Word, that's not going to happen. Because too many people have their own will, their own way, and their own devices, and they're not willing to give them up. It costs them selfishness to do that. Oh, it costs them their selfishness to do that. And some people are not willing to give that up. And that's a shame. Remember that selfish, self, and then ish is a derivative or well, I don't know what the other word you'd use, but of God, self-God. You've exalted your throne above the throne of God. We read that someplace, didn't we? About somebody called Lucifer. And where did he end up? Thrown out of heaven like lightning. And that was Jesus reporting what he saw. I believe it's in Luke, the 19th chapter. Praise the Lord. God loves us. He loves us. And there's not a mistake that we make. There's not a slip-up that we make that God doesn't love us. But He's always whispering, come up higher. Come up higher. I've got more for you. I've got more for you. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to please God this morning? God knows what's in your heart. I believe you do want to please God. And I do too. Hallelujah. Did any of you hear anything that helped you this morning? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Again, not a long-winded sermon, but very important. If we could just understand. You know, one of the things is if we're like Christ, then why the frustration? If God's operating in our lives, why the frustration? Why the ability to all of a sudden lose control, get angry? You know, does that look like Jesus? Do you think you're winning somebody to the Lord with that kind of action? That's why, man, a long time ago, I said, God, I want this to stop in my life. Now I've gotten a lot of victory. Am I totally there? No. But if I do lose control, thank God it's always when somebody's not looking except for Him. Except for Him. And if I do lose it when somebody's looking, then my responsibility is going to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And what's your responsibility? Yes, ma'am, you're forgiven. What does that mean? In other words, I release you to God. I don't hold it against you. Go with God. Does that sound like something we should aspire to put in operation this week in our lives? Hallelujah. Letting things become to the point where they're festering, where the poison's coursing through our veins, and taking our frustration out on somebody. And it's just, that's not the works of God. God never did that to me. Did He ever do that to you? Anybody? No. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. you need prayer this morning, I don't care what it's for. God cares. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. Their thoughts for good and not for evil. He wants to prosper. He wants to not harm you. And to give you what? A hope and a future. A hope and a future. Only in God. If you need prayer this morning, whatever you feel led by the Spirit to do, which is raise your hand, if it's just, you know, wave a hand at me, or if you want to come up, whatever it takes, the elders are here, we'll pray for you. We want the best that God has for you. I want the very best for each one of you that God has for you. Amen? And like Jesus, I can tell you, I'm for you, I'm not against you. And your actions, or your words, or your reactions are not going to change the fact that I love you. I don't love you because of how you treat me. I love you because you're God's child. God created you, and because that's the way God loves me. You can't cause me to stop loving you. Can I say that as a human being? Not without Christ in my life. Not without the help of God, my co-laborer, my advocate, who's always making intercession for me, my high priest. Amen. Praise the Lord. All hearts clear. Yes.
Last Wednesday, I told you what's going on with me, and I don't know if Bill heard or not. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you guys to agree with me in my prayer.
Amen.
And then after that, we praise the Lord and thank the Lord for what's going on.
Amen.
In my life.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know what God has in mind, but I talked to Bill's sister last night, and I heard that there was a lady that's going to be at her church who has got quite a healing ministry. She's the daughter of Francis and... what was her last name? Hunter, yeah. Francis and somebody else. What's her name? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But she has a healing ministry, and I'm going to go to it. I'm going to try and talk Billy to go with me. And we'll see what God has in mind. So if you pray with me.
Can I say something, Harry? For those of you who don't know, Harry has a need. He has a need. The enemy's tried to pronounce something on him. For those of you who also don't know, Harry and Marie have both been delivered from this very affliction in the past. And I'll tell you, I don't think God's changed his mind. I think God's still the same as he was back then today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So let's agree with Harry. Amen. This is an attack of the enemy. It's a lie. Part of our body is needing our coming together with him and agreeing with him in the Word of God, which is what the body does. The other cells, the blood cells, everything come together and attack what's attacking the body, right? And that's what we need to do with Harry. Amen. Thank God. I believe God wants to heal him. How about you?
I was reading in the Word this morning. It says that... God brings those things to pass that as though, things that aren't as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm asking God to take things that are and make them null and void.
Yes.
So in other words, I'm going to reverse that thinking. So if God can bring things into being that aren't there, then He can take things that are. And make him ain't there. You might say
amen.
So
Isaiah 53:5.
Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you have given me. Your strength, your presence in my life through the Holy Spirit is the greatest thing that you've ever given me. You've given me life.
Yes.
I claim that life now. That what the enemy is trying to put on me is now null and void. And from this day forward, Father, Jesus, from this day forward, we will praise you and thank you for what you're doing in my life. I believe it's removed. I believe it is gone. And I give you praise. I give you glory. Your blood was not your blood, and your bruises and stripes were not for naught. They are for me. And I claim that. In the name of Jesus, you've given me this opportunity to be a witness to all. I have pictures to prove what I had, and I can prove that they are not there anymore. And I'll tell the world about this whole thing. Thank you, Father, for giving me this life. In Jesus' name, I give you praise and glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. You overcome by the blood of the... Amen. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. And not only that, that what the enemy means for harm, God turns to good. Did you hear that? What the enemy means for harm, God turns to good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. I thank you for these people, Lord. I speak blessing over them. I speak your favor over them. I thank you, Lord, that favor and blessing run them down, overtake them, overflows in their lives. I thank you, Lord, they're in your image and likeness. And we're all growing to be more like you, to imitate you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that it's by the Holy Spirit sealed in our hearts. Any words of man fell to the ground and they die, but your word is sealed and is done forever in Jesus' name. And your word has accomplished what it was sent to do. Thank you, Father. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless these people as they go this week. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence, together in unity as the body and as the family of God. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Hallelujah.